Judy DeShazel gave me this list. She had a list of who we are in Christ, and I thought I'd read it quickly. It says, I am God's child. It has scripture for all of this. I am Christ's friend. I'm united with the Lord. I am bought with a price. I am a saint set apart for God. I am a personal witness of Christ. I am the salt and the light of the earth. I am a member of the body of Christ. I am free forever from condemnation. I am a citizen of heaven. I am significant. I am free from any charge against me. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am assured of all things work together for good. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all through Christ who strengthens me. I am the branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. I am God's temple. I am complete in Christ. I am hidden with Christ in God. I have been justified. I am God's co-worker. I am God's workmanship. I am confident that the good works of God has begun in me will be perfected. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I have been adopted as God's child. I belong to God, and so on. That's quite a list, and it's all true. That's the great part of it. And I've been talking about this. There's two things you have to know, particularly in life. And number one, who is Jesus Christ? And secondly, who are you? Those two things are extremely important. A lot of people know who Christ is, and some know him personally, and that's a good thing. But very few of us, unfortunately, know who we are. And we've been talking about this because the Bible says that we have been adopted into the family of God. Now, I'm talking to people who have received Christ as their personal Savior. I'm talking to people who know that what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was all about, but not only knowing it, but receiving it for their own life. Now, if you don't receive it for your own life, it's not going to amount to much. It'll just be a nice story. And I think there's a lot of religious people who know about Jesus, but do not know him. And I don't want anybody here go into the new year not knowing Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And so that's part of what this is about, but it's only part of it. There's a event in the Old Testament that tells us God's plan for you. And it's about his children of Israel. And Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. And we're all in the world. But God took Israel out of Egypt, because he had a plan for them. And so in a sense, we as believers are separated into the plan of God. But the very next thing he did was take him into a wilderness. Now that sounds like a strange thing. But before they could go into the promised land or the inheritance of God or the rewards of God, they had to be prepared. And so are you and I. And God many times takes us into a wilderness where he has to renew our thinking, renew our actions, and prepare us for what he has prepared for us in this life. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about this life. Yes, he's preparing us for heaven. But they went into the wilderness and immediately started to complain. And they got in the wilderness and they said, we want to go back to Egypt. Egypt was a horrible place. They were in bondage. They were in slavery. They had no rights, no liberty, no nothing. And God took them out of that and he put them in the wilderness and he gave them total freedom. And the problem is they kept saying, we want to go back to Egypt, we want to go back to Egypt. Now it's a normal thing if you've been saved at times to want to go back to Egypt. But the Lord says, don't do it. Because if you go back to Egypt, you're not going to go forward to what I want you to do. Now, God has a plan for every single one of you. It's a unique plan. It's not all the same because you're unique. And I think you have to understand that you are one of a kind. I've talked about this before. But every one of you in your soul is like a fingerprint. They're all different. There are no two people alike in this world. Now, you might look alike somebody. You could even be a twin of somebody, but you're not alike inside. You're not alike in your soul. And so the point of that is that God is going to use you in your uniqueness. But he has a plan for you, and the plan is to go into your inheritance, to go into your area of rewards, to go into that place, because it is possible. And there's a warning in the Bible that you can stay in the wilderness and die in the wilderness and never get in to what God has for you. And I am afraid that many people do that. I think they come to church occasionally. They do what they think they're supposed to do for God, but they're primarily their hearts back in Egypt. And the problem is they're not going to go forth into what God has for them. The ones, and anybody can be one of these ones, the ones that are going to be approved by God are the ones that go through the wilderness experience and go into the promised land. Now, the promised land was a place of battle. There was very little battle in the wilderness except one, and that was the battle of the flesh. They dealt with the flesh. They dealt with the world in Egypt. They dealt with the flesh in the wilderness. And they're going to deal with the enemy in the promised land, you see. But we have to get by this flesh. We're our own enemy sometimes. Because there's things we want to do in the liberty that we have that are outside of the will of God. And if we're involved in things that are outside of the will of God, then we're not going to be able to go forward. Now, I'm going to expand on this tonight, but the issue is that in the wilderness, every single day, 90 people died without going into the promised land. God had promised them that if they would allow him to work in their life to prepare them for the unique things that he had them to do, that they could go into the promised land and inherit the land and also get the rewards of the land. Now, I'm talking about this life. So every single one of us are in this struggle. If you know Christ as your Savior, you've been taken out of Egypt, you're in the desert, God is preparing you. Now, every trial we go through in life is designed to make us stronger, not to tear us down. Somebody says, Lord, why'd you allow this to happen to me? Well, if the Lord was involved in it, he allowed it to happen to you to make you stronger in him. Because you're going to have to be strong when you get into the promised land. You're going to have to know who you are. You're going to have to know whose your strength is in. And you're going to have to know who the enemy is. Are you listening to me? Many people, many Christians die and never get to the promised land. You know it says in the Bible that there's going to be some that go to heaven and have lost all their rewards, have lost basically their inheritance. They'll be in heaven, but they lost what God had for him to gain in this life. My ministry basically is to get you out of the desert and into the promised land. That's the desire of my heart. Get you out of the desert, get you into the promised land where the battles are. But you have to understand that the enemy is not at all as strong as God himself. Well, I mean, one angel is going to put the devil into the lake of fire. That's all it's going to take. He's not that strong. But the issue is he's still in this life, and the reason he's in there in this life is to provide obstacles for us to go through and get stronger and keep on moving in the Lord. That's the object of this Christian life. It's never to stand still. It's never to say, I've got it made. It's never to say, this is as far as I'm going. It's always, there's something new God has for me tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I'm still excited about the things I learn about God. I'm still excited about the new things that I see that God wants me to do. There's nothing dull about the Christian life if you get into it, you see. But now let me tell you something right now. If you're not in your Bible or listening to Bible tapes or something Christian every single day, you're taking a step backward. Are you listening to me? I don't know how to tell you that more strongly than I can. I understand that some people don't read, but you can get the Bible on tape. You can have somebody read the Bible to you. You must get in the Word of God. It is spiritual food. In the desert, the Word of God was the manna. Are you listening to me? The manna came from heaven. It didn't have the greatest taste in the world. It tasted like oil and dough is what it tasted like. And they kept saying, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of this. And there's a lot of days you get in the Word of God, it seems like oil and dough. But there's other days you get in there, and I mean, you get fired up in Jesus' name. But you don't stop eating because the food isn't the greatest you ever had. You keep on eating to sustain your body. You have to be in the Word of God to sustain your soul. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about what's going to help you in this new year. And the point is, you haven't even begun. You see, we all have a BC before Christ. And then we all have the life with Christ. And what you did in the past is done, over, and finished. I say it's done, over, and finished. You can't change it. But you can change the future. You can change tomorrow. You can change the next day. And there's, I say, three basic things. There's probably more, but three basic things everybody ought to do. And that's number one, they need to be in church with their brothers and sisters in Christ and minister to each other and love each other, because you're going to learn it here that you're going to do out in the world. Are you listening to me? This is a place of training. This isn't a place to vegetate. It's a place of training to go out and do it, you see. Then you need to be in the Word of God. That's spiritual food. I need to be in the Word of God. Every single day. If you came to our house, I'm not bragging. It's because we've learned to do this. Whenever we're getting ready in the morning, we either have Christian television on or we have Christian our radio station on. One of the two. And we're listening all the time. We're listening to the Word of God. We're listening to different ones preach. We're taking in the Word. We're taking in the Word. We're taking in the manna day after day after day after day. And you cannot help but grow in the Lord if you take in the manna. Are you listening to me? Now, that's necessary. The other thing is prayer, and it's very simply talking to God. Some people are afraid of God because what the dark stuff they have in the closet of their life. Well, the point is, get rid of it now. It's not worth it. Nothing in your life that's outside of the will of God is worth it, because God's got so much better for you. Only two people got out of the desert into the promised land. Now, I'm going to tell you a lot more are going to get in there these days, but the issue is the rest of them, all they did was murmur and complain, and why did God allow this to happen to me? They abused the liberty and the freedom that God gave them. God gives us freedom, but the freedom is to follow Him. That's what the freedom, not to do our own thing. It's to follow Him. And when you follow Him, then you're going to come to the end of your life and say, it's been good in Jesus' name. Now, so each identity, each soul, every single one of us here is like a different fingerprint. You're not like anybody else on this planet. And there never has been anybody like you on this planet. Never will be anybody like you on this planet. You are a unique creation of God. And the point is, that puts a lot of responsibility on us also to start living that way. Living what we are. Find out what God has for you. Get in it and start moving. I don't mean you don't neglect your family, you don't neglect your job, whatever it is. God will work through those things. And the gifts and calling of God are added to this identity. And there's a whole list of gifts. We're going to be going through those on Sunday night. The gifts of God, because we're in 1 Corinthians, and they're in 12, 13, and 14. And we're going to be going through those. If you can't be here on Sunday night, get those tapes, because you need to know God has given you one or more of these gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. And if you don't use them, God won't take them away. You just won't get the rewards that gift would give you if you let it manifest and work in your life. God didn't make us to just stay like we are. He made us to keep moving towards what He wants us to be. So, you should be sure about your identity. You should be so strong in who you are in Christ, regardless of what anybody says, it won't change your thinking one bit. Are you listening to me? What the problem is, a lot of people come to church and then somebody identifies them in some other way and they get all messed up because they don't have the foundation of the Lord, who they are in Christ, or anything else. Now, what you have to do is surrender your life. Just say, Lord, make me what you want me to be. It's not complicated. Make me what you want me to be. Somebody always thinks, oh, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that. How can you lose anything if you have the things of God? You're going to gain a lot more than you'll ever lose in this life. And the more we become like Jesus, the more we're going to understand this, the more we're going to do the works of God, the more we're going to be like He wants us to be. Now listen, it might take weeks, it might take months, it might take years, but who cares how long it takes? God is very patient. God is very patient. And I don't know, sometimes we just get this idea. I talked to a guy the other day, he restores cars. I just met him in Walmart. I didn't know him. I don't know. Just got to talking to him. And Walmart's a great meeting place. You ever notice that? You just meet all kinds of people in there. If you're bored at home, just go in Walmart and look at the people. I mean, it's really something. But anyway, he said that when he restores a car, he tears it completely down to the frame and starts over. I say he goes all the way to the frame and he starts over. And I want you to know that's what God does in our life. He goes all the way to the frame. And then he's going to build something that's going to be a blessing to him for eternity. God is building us to be a blessing for Him for eternity. We have such a great purpose. We have such a reason to live. We have such a reason to be here. We have such a reason to get up in the morning. Hallelujah. Today God's going to make me like Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, and that's what it's all about. He says he goes down to the frame where there's nothing left. And you know, many people say, you know, Lord, there's just nothing left to me. You know what I say to that? Hallelujah. Now God can start building what He wants to build. He wants to get us down to the frame where He can put in us what He wants to put in us, grow in us what He wants. And I have news. If you allow that to happen, when you get to heaven, you're going to be another Jesus in that place. Are you listening? Because what's what God wants to do. Jesus came. He says, this is what I want you to be like. So allow me now in your lifetime to make me like my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. He wants a whole lot more Jesus running around in heaven. And so he's getting us ready. How many know that that's going to take a lot of tearing down and building up? You know, the Old Testament says God tears down and then he builds up. That's what he did to Israel. He tore them down to nothing. They were scattered all over the world. There weren't even a nation left. And God said, I'm going to start over. Nobody believed it until 1948 came along. Are you listening? And Israel became again a nation. And God said they're never again going to leave this place. You see, God means what he says and says what he means. Now, so what do? You just simply ask, Lord, make me what you want me to be, and then hold on. Are you listening? It's going to be a ride. It's going to be a ride. God's going to have to take some things out of your life and put some things in. He may have to take some people out of your life and put some people in. Whatever he needs to do. You need to let go of some people that are leading you back to Egypt. Are you listening to me? You can't go back to that thing. God won't let you go back to that thing. And he'll allow you to die before he'll let you go back there. Are you listening to me? If you're one of his. God will just say, okay, I'm taking you out. If you don't want me to make you like Jesus, I'll just take you out. And he does that every once in a while. They don't make any difference how famous, how rich, how poor, whatever. God does, treats everybody the same. Now he says, I can make you what you want, what I want you to be. Now you have to understand that's where your life starts. You thought it started when you were born. No, it starts when you allow God to start rebuilding your life. Now, you know, if you're at a point where you say, my life's pretty good like it is, then you may have to go a little further than the frame, if you understand what I'm saying. He may have to take you down to the nuts and the bolts, if you understand what I'm saying. You see, because none of us are so great that God doesn't want to do a little work. If you believe that, say amen. I want you to look at Revelation 3 and verse 12. I usually use more scripture, but today it's a little different. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, and we'll just look at this real quick. Okay, now look at this. It says him. That means her, him, whoever. Revelation 3:12, him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven for my God. And I'll write upon him my new name. Now, God says, him that overcomes, that means the ones that get in the promised land, the one that actually gets in the battle with the enemy. You know that very few Christians get in the battle with the enemy. They blame everything imaginable on the devil and it's them. You know what I'm talking about? They're still in the wilderness. They're not fighting the devil. They're fighting their past life. They're fighting all these doors they open to the devil and all these other things. No, God's got some land he wants you to take. Are you listening to me? God's got some people that he wants you to conquer for him. God's got some territory that he wants you to operate in. And God will do all these things if you let him. Being an overcomer in the Bible doesn't mean you're going to heaven. It means you've overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you're pleasing to God. Are you listening to me? We all can be overcomers. All we got to do is walk in his grace. Walk in his plan, not walk outside of the plan of God. I'm telling you, you know, God has put me with you to show you and to encourage you to get in the plan of God. Some people never get in the plan of God. And I don't want you to be one of those. You're unique. Now, here's how the enemy tries to stop you, and he will, from reaching the goal. He will try to capture you with sin, with fear, with loneliness, and so on. And I've talked about this, I think it's last Sunday night we talked about this. Charles Stanley's got a message he called HALT, H-A-L-T. And it's very simply what it is. It says, don't get too hungry. Don't get too angry. Don't get too lonely. And don't get too tired. Are you listening to me? I'll give it to you again. Don't get too hungry. Don't go without, normally go without eating on some kind of a regular basis. Some people do that, mess up their bodies, and then they wonder why they're in the mess they're in. Or they eat the wrong things or whatever. And so don't get too hungry. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. I'm telling you how to be successful in this coming year. Don't get angry and stay that way. Get over it quickly. Confess that anger to God. Ask God to heal you. Ask forgiveness of somebody if necessary. Particularly those some have a worse problem with that than others. But don't get too angry. Don't get too lonely. Be around God's people. Be in church. Be Wednesday night. If you have a problem, if you're single and you're lonely, come every time you can. Be around God's people. And that's the issue. That will save your life. And then don't get too tired. God made us to rest. That's why he put night out there. You understand? That's what it's for. You're supposed to rest at night. We're supposed to be like the farmers. Be up in the light and go to bed when it's dark. Are you listening to me? But we try to bend the rules a little bit and get all messed up and get all tired, particularly during the holidays, and get all messed up. And, we can be in the middle of celebrating Christ's birthday and get so tired we'd be messed up with God. We're not listening to him. We're not in the Word of God. You know, we let those things go. And you can't do that and be a successful Christian. You know, what a parent's supposed to do with kids is find out where God's unique ability is in that child and nurture that and encourage that in that child's life. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do with children. Some people say, well, I just think children ought to make up their own mind. You know, I've seen people that ask their children if they should go to the store or not. I mean, who's in charge here? I mean, give me a break. That's ridiculous. We got the inmates running the institution. Are you listening to me? I mean, come on. God puts you in charge for a purpose. God made you the man and the husband, if you are one, to be God in that home. And I mean, by being God, you're going to love your wife like Christ loves the church, and you're going to grow your children up in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. Are you listening to me? That's what it is. Take responsibility. Do your job. If you want to be successful in the Lord, you know, not just sit back and do nothing, you know. Oh, well, you know, when you get home from work, that's when the ministry starts. Do I hear an amen? I got pretty quiet there. I say when you get home from working 8 hours, your ministry starts. Not that you shouldn't have it at work, but the point is you're supposed to be in there ministering to the family. You're the Lord of the house. Act like it. You see, that's the issue. I mean, many times we just let the wife run everything and get the children in church and everything else. That's not God's way. God's way is the man teach the children the things of God. And there's ways of doing it. If you don't know how, ask me. Now, You have to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, you're going to try to please everybody imaginable, and you're going to be a mess. Anybody that tries to please everybody is a mess as far as God is concerned. You can't worship God and please everybody else. Are you listening to me? You can't do it. There's always going to be somebody that says, I don't care anything about God, and if you're going to be around me, don't talk about Jesus. Well, I won't be around you then. You know? Or we're going to have prayer, and we're going to do, I don't care if Uncle Sam comes and he's having a meal at the house and he doesn't like Jesus, he's going to have to endure some prayer at the table. Are you listening to me? I mean, who's in charge here? The people of God or some lost dude that doesn't care anything about Jesus? And we need to get this thing right. We're not preparing our home for lost people. We're preparing a home for God. We're decorating our home for Jesus. We're fixing a place that he's going to be at ease in our home. Not only in our life, in our home. You see. And somebody said, well, I just don't understand why I just can't seem to get it together. Well, look around your house. What are you watching on TV? You'd be better throwing the thing in the garbage if you're watching the wrong stuff. Now things really going to get quiet. I understand. But I'll tell you what I've learned about this whole thing. The closer I get to Jesus, the less of most of that stuff I want to watch. Because it's not godly. It's not going to lead me to Jesus. It's not going to help me in any way, shape, or form. I even got so I don't care about listening to the news. We used to do it all the time. The news is so negative that you get depressed just listening to the stuff. No wonder the newspapers are going out of business. They've been praying so much garbage for years and nothing about Jesus. They ought to go out of business. Are you listening to me? We're Christians. We're not like the world. We're not like these other things. We're not any better than they are. We just know somebody that is. You see. It's not that we're better than anybody else. We're not better than Uncle Joe. Whatever he's doing. But we just had we were fortunate enough to come to somebody that's got it all together. And that's Jesus. That's God. You know, God made everything. He's going to wrap it up. He's in charge. You know, we live life like God doesn't exist or something until we need him. And I'm talking to you, you got to be positive about yourself in Jesus Christ. There isn't anything you can't accomplish in Jesus Christ that he wants you to do. Are you listening to me? We have to walk in the grace of God. Grace gives us everything we need for everything that God wants us to be and do. That's what the grace of God is all about. We walk in his grace. We walk, you see, if you're going to go to some family thing and you can't talk about Jesus, get out of there. My goodness. I've heard people, Christians, say, oh, I'm just so depressed because I had to go to so-and-so's house and they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Well, have something at your own house where you can play Christian music in the background, you know. Or if you're just going to go over and witness to them, that's another story. But, you know, if it's not a godly atmosphere, get out of the place. Invite them over to your house. And leave all that ungodly stuff at their place. Now, if somebody can affect your identity in Jesus Christ, some person, then there's something wrong with your Christian walk. There's something wrong with it, you see. And it needs to be strong, needs to be okay. Now, if you're afraid of somebody's negative opinion, then there's something wrong about your own Christian life. Because you can't let that stuff bother you. 10% of the people you meet are going to reject you. Let me give that again. 10% of the people you meet are going to reject you. Now, you're going to let that 10% control your life, or are you going to let the other part of your life control it? You see what I mean? We have to start thinking like Christ. He had a whole lot more than 10% that didn't like him. you see. And because of his staying who he was, we're around today to worship Jesus Christ. And that's the issue. Now, I got to the point where I don't really care if somebody's negative. I try to learn from the negative stuff, but I'm not going to let it bother me, stop me, do anything else. If I need to change something, I'll change something. If I need to ask forgiveness, I'll ask forgiveness. If I make a mistake and mess up, I'll confess that. I'm to that point in my life, and I like it there. I have peace, you see. And I didn't have peace before, but I do now. So I care what people think, I care about people, but I'm not going to let them mess up my Christian life, you see. Now, so you need to know who you are. You know, there's far too many people running around this world like leaves blown in the wind. And you know, they talk a good story, but you don't see any testimony of it in their life. And they're just floating around. And they're really not doing anything. They're not going anywhere. They're not growing. They're just trying to suck approval out of everybody they can. I can't believe I said that. Did I say that? That's exactly what they do. They're just trying to suck approval out of everybody they can and keep on doing what they're doing, which is not working. I always say, how's this working for you? Dr. Phil, you know, how's this working for you? Not too good. Well, quit doing it. You got to get into a place where you can use your gifts, where you can grow, where you can be encouraged, where you can become like Jesus Christ. That's the issue. If that's not, you're not in that place, get out of it. You know, well, you know, my aunt so-and-so was in that church for 40 years, and then I was in that church for another 35. Well, do they talk about salvation? No. Get out of there. My goodness, you're ruining your whole family in that place. You know what I'm saying? I'm not speaking against any church or anybody. I'm just telling you what you and I need to do. And, you know, if you don't get your identity in Jesus, you're going to spend your life just bouncing off of people that are trying to give you their opinion of who you are. And, yeah, just bouncing around like a ball. Just, I didn't like that opinion. I'll try to get another one, you know. And, I know Aunt Susie doesn't like me, so I'm going to go to Aunt Josie's place because she, you know, what is this? Our identity is in Christ. Our identity is in Jesus. We need to know who he is and who we are. And I'm going to tell you this, Jesus, anybody tells you Jesus is a good person or he's the man upstairs, lead them to Jesus. I've heard that kind of stuff all the time. They come up with all this, I've been thinking about the man upstairs. Well, who's that? It might be Santa Claus. Gee. We already talked about him. Actually, St. Nicholas was a good guy. We talked about that. But this character that's come out of there is a whole other thing. Yesterday, my wife was cleaning as usual, and which is a good thing. But she was in my bathroom and she was down under the cabinet throwing things out of there. And I said, what are you doing in there? She had the whole floor full of stuff. And she says, well, you got two of these and three of these. I said, I know what. Well, you don't need two of these and three of these. And she's taking all this stuff out of there. Listen, there's a whole bunch of us need a little house cleaning.
That's right.
You know what? Why go into the new year with all this stuff? It's time to surrender to Christ and time to say, Lord, do whatever you need to do in my life to make me like Jesus. I don't care what it costs. I don't care where I go. I don't care what you take away and what you need to deal with. I want Jesus. You see? And that's the way we need to be in this life. Get rid of that dark stuff. Anything that's in there that shouldn't be in that closet of your life, clean it out. Yes. Okay, and sometimes these things take time. You'll think everything's going pretty good, and all of a sudden something will come up that God wants to deal with. So you deal with it. God doesn't do everything all at once. You couldn't handle it. He takes a little bit at a time. It took Grace all that time to get that culture out there where I can worship God any place. I don't pay attention. I just go ahead and worship the Lord. But she had to deal with that. That finally done. And God said, it's over. It's over. And you need to listen to God. Yes.
Well, you know, every New Year's, I would think about reading God's Word. And I would put my first January, and it got old. And second year it was in June, and I thought I was doing pretty good, but it got old then. Well, on New Year's Eve service in this other church, this little lady stood up and said, I used to struggle with reading God's word. And I thought, I'm tuning in, because she has something for me. And she goes, you know, it's not me that will read God's word. I pray for him to put a desire in my heart for God's word. I went out and got a daily walk Bible, and I have read that Bible through 11 years.
Wow.
Not me, because trust me, I fall behind. And then I start praying, put the desire for your word in my heart, that I will just dry up if I don't read it every day. And when my kids come home, they see Bibles open on the dining room table, because I need it there, because I need God's word every day. I am 3 days away from reading God's word for the 12th year, Genesis to Revelation, all through. And I'll tell you what, it has given me wisdom. And if you read it every day, you speak it every day. You speak it.
Yes.
You run into people.
Yes.
They go, oh, this happened. I said, you know, that happened in God's word too. And you know what God says about that? And they're looking at me like, well, we can move on to the next subject. But no, no, wait, wait, wait. Listen to this, because you need to hear this.
Amen.
And it is an awesome journey, and it is God's journey, not mine. This year has been absolutely tremendous with what he has shown me in his word, with what's going on in the world. And you know, you were saying that we need to be like Christ. Well, I just read in 1 John or 2 John or maybe even 3 John how if you want to be like Christ, you got to be in his word, because the Bible will make you like Christ. I had to say that. My heart was beating 100 miles an
hour. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 That's what we like. Get excited about this thing. Let's stand before the Lord. Elders come.